All right, we'll call to order the Town Council and Park Board Joint Workshop. Today is November 29th, 2018. Ms. Tribbensee, could you call roll, please?
Mayor Dooley?
Here.
Councilmember Barker?
Here.
Councilmember Holford?
Here.
Councilmember Phillips?
Here.
And Councilmember Martinson?
Here.
Park Board Member Renee Endicott?
Here.
Park Board Member Vicki Motley?
Here.
Park Board Member Lodi Knapp?
Here.
And Park Board Member Whitney McBeth is excused.
Okay, great. Thanks, Audrey. We called this meeting tonight to kind of work through a problem-solving process that at least the council agreed to start using after we had a facilitation with the Montana Municipal and Local Authority, League of Cities and Towns, and Local Government Center. And that process is supposed to appear on this column. If you need a refresher on that, it stems from a conversation that we've been having on and off since September with specifically security at Lewis and Clark Park. We've received a proposal as of the last council meeting or the meeting before. I think it was the meeting before last where we received a proposal from a citizen to install security cameras at that park and to kind of alleviate those concerns. There's been discussion, I think, publicly, both in council meetings and outside, as to if security cameras or surveillance cameras are the best solution. There's a lot of questions from the administrative side of things, from the executive branch and with the chief of police as to how this looks if, in fact, this body decides tonight or comes to a consensus that, in fact, surveillance cameras are the right option for to address security at the park, specifically Lewis and Clark Park. So what I'd like to do before we get into, I think there's a number of questions surrounding this surveillance camera system that's been proposed. I think before we get into any of the specifics of that camera system, what I'd like to do is work through the problem-solving process to definitely determine that is, in fact, the solution we want to use to address security at the park. I've asked the chief of police to be here and share his thoughts on what security looks like for us at the park. We've also had the police clerk and the town clerk at our disposal for any input as well. So park board's here tonight. Obviously, you're the constituency that lends advice to the council on parks and recreation and the like, and the council's here because you're the folks that received the initial proposal on the surveillance camera system. So my hope is tonight we walk out of here with some sort of consensus on how to proceed, and then we can go forward from there on a decision at a future council meeting. So from there, yep.
A special meeting.
Correct, yeah. So we can hold, depending on whatever the result is tonight, we can hold a special meeting to make something final or however, we can set that date up tonight even if we need to. So so going straight into the issue, I think what we want to do tonight is, starting with identifying the problem, is do such, and that is, I assume, is security at the park. Specifically Lewis and Clark, I think that's the main focus of this group tonight. Does anyone have any, I mean, security is the, before we define what security looks like, is that kind of the consensus of this group?
It's on the agenda, it would be the only consensus.
Right, I'm just making sure that, the problem is in fact security and not some other issue related.
Oh, okay.
So, going on to define that, I guess, I don't know if you'd like to kind of talk a little bit about security at the park and what your experience has been there to help us kind of better define what it is we need to come up with for a solution.
Well, I would call the problem really more, to better define it or clarify it, would be criminal activity. Because that's broad and it covers everything, so really that's what it's about. It's vandalism, it's, you know, drug activity. I mean, over the years there's been a lot of things that have taken place in the park. You know, assaults, But predominantly, I think, if you just say criminal activity at the park is really the issue, and defining that, I think that's really the best way to define it. It's all encompassing, and that's what, the discussion is how to best deal with that. And I think it's important to remember that the cameras, although they will, to a certain extent, have a tendency to put people in a situation where they're going to think twice about committing a crime. It's there as a deterrent also, but primarily it's a tool, and that's the idea, is to be able to identify who committed a criminal act. And, we'll get into the other nuances with that privacy issue, but...
So I think, at this stage where we've identified the problem as criminal activity, and we want to move forward on defining it, that what does criminal activity look like to this body and to our community? And I think part of that is vandalism is what we've seen. What do you guys feel are some other issues that fall under criminal activity that we'd like to prevent or deter?
Chief Marmol said the drug activity that's going on down in the park.
Okay.
Targeting of the skate park.
So criminal mischief, vandalism.
Oh yeah, when you're painted and targeted, it's targeted. We have to clean that up. If it costs money.
That's a vandalism of the playground itself.
Mm-hmm. Restrooms.
Okay, this is primarily a workshop for the park board and the council. Once they've workshopped through what we're going through, we'll take public comment.
Okay, then I'll say the restrooms, even the porta potties are being destroyed that are down there. I've gone during...
So vandalism?
Yeah, vandalism.
Okay. We've got a big star on vandalism.
Soccer nets. Okay. Soccer equipment.
But in regards to, defining this, we're looking for activities, and so we know that vandalism occurs on a number of different facilities and amenities we have at the park. But what other activities are we seeing that kind of fall under this criminal activity or this law-breaking? Is it primarily drug activity and vandalism?
And also assaults that was just mentioned.
Okay. What kind of assaults have occurred?
Physical assault. Fighting, basically. Okay. Disorderly conduct, fighting. There has been, years ago, a complaint of a sexual assault. I almost wouldn't put that into the same category as what we're discussing right now, because, that's few and far between the situations that we've had like that down there. I think predominantly obviously the number one issue is vandalism. That's the forefront of everybody's mind. Secondary to that would be drug activity, and then I think assaults taking place down there.
You mentioned driving infractions. What are
driving infractions? Is that recently? I'm sorry.
That's on the list here. Are people driving where they shouldn't drive? I don't know.
And in the park, no. In the parking lot, yes, there has been issues. So I guess to segregate those two things out, predominantly in the parking lot is where we see a lot of the drug activity complaints taking place. And then there are driving offenses, of course, when it snows and everybody can see the elements down there. Everybody's spinning in the snow. There's been other issues with driving too fast in the parking lot area itself and things like that. So
it also mentions weapon complaints.
There have been a few weapons complaints down there. Nothing anywhere where somebody's discharged a firearm or anything like that. But, there's been concerns over There's not too long ago, the man that had a pistol down there, he was showing his friends the pistol. But it was still was a concern that was raised, obviously, because there's kids playing in the park and other stuff going on. It wasn't actually criminal activity, but in that particular instance, it probably wasn't the best place to show your buddy the new pistol that you got, you know, that type of thing. But there have been instances with knives down there, things like that, just over the years. I mean, and we're talking the last 15 years that I've been involved in that type of thing. So it's been a considerable amount of time.
Okay. Stacy.
I think at a previous meeting, it's been quite some time ago, the safety for our officers as well. You know, we've heard that it's dark when they go down there, and it's,
you can't get out of the car when it's dark.
No, I can get out of the car when it's dark. I'm not afraid of the dark, I promise you that. That's not really an issue. I mean, we do put patrols down there. We've got flashlights we can see. I wouldn't really consider that an officer safety issue. The safety aspect of the going down there into the park, especially at night, isn't really, I don't think it's really something that should be considered.
It's not a deal breaker.
Law enforcement. Yeah. I mean, really, it's about the people and what time we're going to close the park down and lighting and things like that, which can be discussed, but I wouldn't consider that really to be a law enforcement officer safety issue. We go through a lot of scary places.
Well, it was brought up at one of the meetings, so that's why.
Mayor said it. That was one of the mayor's statements.
And it was a consideration installing lighting there. Mr. Michelson? Did you have? You raised your hand while Ms. Barker was speaking.
No, when I raised my hand, I mentioned it to him about the light issue.
Okay.
Is there
anything else on defining as far as activity and that sort of thing? I think we've pretty much narrowed this down to vandalism. I think that's a big emphasis, and drug activity, assaults of various types, primarily physical. And some issues in the parking lot. Mr. Michelson?
May I make a suggestion, just maybe? Instead of going, I know we have public comment at the end, but could we suspend the rules instead of, like, we identify the problem, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, why don't we let the public weigh in on that right now, too, instead of waiting all the way to the end, and then they might skip out on a few little parts there. You see what I'm saying? That way we're all together. The public's with us on identifying the problem. The public's with us on defining the problem. Instead of all the way through, like you said, and at the very end, let them weigh in. Let them weigh in now while it's fresh in your mind.
Sure. Does anybody in the park board or the council object?
I think that's a great idea.
Okay. So at this point, we'll kind of all just monitor in stages as to kind of where the best place to put public comment is. Now that we've identified and defined the problem, I think it's an appropriate time to take public comment. If you plan to give public comment, please make sure that you've signed the sign-in sheet at the door, and then step forward to the podium, state your name and address for the record.
Raymond Smith, 326 Valley View, Stevensville, Montana. As a council member, I was working on this as liaison. Part of the problem, too, identifying the problem, is not only the vandalism and all the other issues, but it's the police department itself, the lack of police officers. Nothing against Jane, he's working his butt off. We presently have a new officer. Is that going to help us? Probably not. This is just another tool for the police department to use, which has been very useful in other realms for them. We just identified a suspect for an assault by a pitcher. Again, we would at least have recourse for when these individuals do damage to the playground, to the skate park, to the bathroom, to the pool, jump over in the pool. We will at least be able to identify these individuals and seek restitution from them, instead of all of us having to pay for it each time, whether that restitution is monetary or work, community service, that's fine and dandy. When it comes to the camera system itself, I was working with Kathy. We took on three different vendors that presented their proposals to Kathy and the Civic Club, who are the other individuals that are kicking in the funds for this. So there are no funds being expended by the community. Again, I get to how can we look a gift horse in the mouth? We talk about privacy issues. I don't understand the privacy issue when the chief says it's okay to put a game camera up and monitor it that way versus monitoring with a system that's professionally installed that has a 4 terabyte storage system, which means you're not having to run over there. It will recycle itself, so nobody really has to do anything unless there is a complaint issue. Then James will go over, access the data, and review it and see what his, you know, course is. Janelle can monitor it while she's sitting in the office. If she sees something out of the ordinary, she can request a police officer stop by without anyone having to call. So I'm kind of torn that we as a community, we are on video everywhere we go. You drive down the street, you go to the Walmart or the market, the bank, post office, you're on camera. It's the same thing in your public park. Your expectation of privacy, you're in the public. So again, I do not see that issue. We have other communities that have security systems on their skate parks. Hamilton just opened their skate park today. They are already considering a camera system specifically for the park, but they already have a camera system in their park at Claudia Bistro. So again, we would not be the first community to go down this road. And so if there's any questions, please don't hesitate to ask them regarding the system. Again, I said 4 terabyte is quite a lot of storage. It's a waterproof indoor-outdoor system that, you know, we don't have to worry about the weather. Maintenance on a system like that is minimal at best. And again, it is an adjustable system. Cameras can be added. If there's any questions, please just let me know.
Okay, any further public comment on the finding or identifying problem that we're considering tonight? All right. Let's move on then to, excuse me.
And also, just to take it one step further, this could help with the terrorist thing if somebody went to the sewer plant and tried to mess with our sewer plant or our water system. We would at least have video of them. No.
Okay. Moving on through the process, reviewing the options that we have then to kind of address what we've defined as the problem. I think obviously the first one that comes to mind is this camera, surveillance camera system that's been proposed. We held some internal workshopping with the police department to kind of come up with some other possible solutions that we'd hope that the park board and town council would consider. And some of those we've looked at implementing already, but we'd obviously like your input, the public's input on that. So we'd like to go on and hear your thoughts on, I think the first option is surveillance cameras. Other options?
Sure.
Increased patrols. And that was something I think that the police department suggested was some sort of patrol system where it's a combination of citizens and officers, and maybe they incorporate the park into their crime watch program that they're launching. Chief, would you like to elaborate at all?
Yeah, the patrol monitoring system for citizens and officers. I'm sure all of you have been to the mall and seen the folks that work there that they'll go to a corner and they'll take their fob and they'll touch it to the device, and it tracks that they actually were in that section of the mall and they went through it. So maybe something similar to that that we could do in the park, to where we're logging the times that we're going in and checking different things, and not only officers could be doing that on park walkthroughs so that we can maintain that and ensure that that's actually getting done at night and you know, during the day. But also for citizens that volunteer through the Crime Watch program to go through and do the same thing. They can, you know, mark that, hey, we did a check through this area and different stuff. So not only having law enforcement, but working together with community members to have better eyes on the park, I guess, at all times would be a huge advantage as well. So,
could you tell me how many volunteers you have in this Crime Watch program?
It's not quite done yet. We're just in the finishing stages of it. We talked about it today with the Coffee with the Cop program. And we should have applications out and pamphlets out after Christmas, and we should be ready to rock and roll and move forward. So we're very excited about that.
Robin?
The only problem I see with having citizens being part of this is a liability issue on the town. Because if there's drug activity or assault going on and a citizen walks in on it, that's going to cause a problem. Yeah. Unless the citizen is going to be allowed to carry.
Well, I think, you know, just the whole idea behind this is just observe and report. And I know that, you know, that's kind of a cliche thing to say, but it's very true. Because you don't want anybody getting into the middle of something like mm-hmm. that, obviously. And if they're going to be part of this, as well as the Stephensville Crime Watch, there's training that goes with that to say, you know, here's what you do. And you call and say what you're observing and, you know, things like that. You're not
intervening
in the middle of saying, hey, stop it, or anything like that.
Or where's the makeup?
It's just really there just as an observation tool to say this type of thing is going on right now. It's more eyes in the park that are actively looking for things. And, you know, instead of just having the mindset of, oh, we're going to go over here with the kids and do this and kind of forget about everything else, you know, it gives citizens an opportunity to go through there and say, I'm looking for different things, and we'll call. The more information transference dissemination that we have, the better likelihood we are going to be able to apprehend people that commit criminal offenses. But also, it's an awareness, you know. When word gets out about that, that there's always somebody watching on a regular basis, I think, and I'm not going to put kids in just in a lump sum category as the predominant people that commit criminal offenses down there, but the reality is such. I mean, we're not dealing very often with offenses committed by adults. It's mostly kids. So, you know, when they hear about that, I think they're going to be more apt to say, okay, we'll back up. And that's just one thing. I mean, there's a variety of things that can be done, including the security cameras, that will help deal with those issues in the park.
Stacey?
I think, like James said, you know, people watching. I think we do have people watching, but I don't think they know what the right steps are. So I think maybe, like you said, have a class or something and have, mm-hmm. have them more engaged.
I think
they see it going on, but maybe they're afraid to say something.
And they don't know what,
and they don't know what steps exactly.
Certainly, so, the neighbors, I think they have an interest in the well-being of the park as a whole. And it sounds like we've spoken to a few of those folks, and they seem interested in helping us with that. So I know one individual in particular.
We have modify hours in ensuring the gate is closed. It's not always done. So I mean, it's. If we're gonna do it, we need to make sure it's a consistent. You know, we say we're gonna do it, but.
And I think that's why we've come tonight is to kind of set those models up. If that's a direction that the group agrees to go to, then we'll put some things in place to make sure that we follow through on those operationally is to see mm-hmm. those projects through. You know, our biggest challenge with the gate right now, entering the winter season, is that if it snows, the gates don't open and shut as easily, especially if we get a considerable amount of snow. Public Works has a difficult time dealing with those gates. And so, their proposal was, well, just change the way the gates open, and then we're okay. We're okay. And so that was something we suggested, was maybe changing the gate to a sliding gate versus a swinging gate. It's easier for folks to close that up during wintertime. And I think wintertime is probably when we primarily have issues during the dark, because it gets dark earlier.
Are there any gates that actually have timers that you can have it be automatic?
Yes.
Okay. Because mm-hmm. that would...
One place I saw that used was at the university, where they have a motor pool lot, and you have to key yourself to get in. There's a keypad to get in. If the gate closes while you're in there, there's a button to push to get yourself out.
Yeah. Okay.
So if you find yourself, if the gate automatically closes at 11, and your car's in there, and you're still in there, and then you could hit the button to hit out. But if your car's in there and you're uptown, you're up a creek. That's the only downside. You may have to have some after hours number to call to get that gate open. The park's closed at 11, so if you park there at 10:30 and you know the gate closes at 11, well, you could be there by 10:59.
And that's not exactly a cheap way to go either, too, because it's pricey.
And that might be would help with, even with Krim Ring, because they've had people steal some of their stuff after everybody has left.
What we liked about the gate when we discussed the gate situation was that it I think a lot of these options increase patrols, citizen patrols, bring up liability concerns. We had some concerns about the security cameras as well as to what the work and the manpower that goes into that. The gate is, while it's an upfront cost for us to do that, the gate is something that, once it's in, it maintains itself relatively easily. It's not something that we have to continue to invest in over the long haul. And it doesn't really pose us any liability unless somebody's in its way, right? Mr. Michelson?
What time does the guys get done working and they love to get in at 5:30?
The public works crew gets off at 4 o'clock.
Okay.
So they open the gates in the morning and they close at night, but they don't close them when they leave to the park.
Well, I was thinking in the winter months, it gets dark between 4 and 5 anyway, doesn't it? I mean, really. So who's really in there after dark? I mean, it's just, if we're looking at hours, I'm thinking that might be an option.
And
close that during the winter months, and then the spring months comes, it gets lighter.
You can set, it's up to the town council and the park board to agree to set any hours you want, whether it's dark or light, or you want to close the park from noon to 1 every day, then we'll close the park from noon to 1. So are there any other options the board would like to discuss before we ask for public comment on options? Lowy?
I have a question about the cost of an automated gate.
Sure. We don't know. We're in the midst of a considerable fence project up at the airport, and it's a lot of fencing and a lot of corners and stuff, and that's around $7,000 for us to do that whole project. So I would imagine a gate's going to, ballpark $2,000 or $3,000 for us to do that.
We just had a gate that we were getting ready to install, and a sliding gate was over $10,000 just for the work.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So it's not cheap.
That's something we can continue to vet. Jerry?
I was just going to say, out at the refuge, we have a sliding gate to our compound out there, and it works very well. It's not automated. You have to manually do it. In the wintertime, that sliding gate does get stuck, and it's hard to push open.
But you are able eventually to... I think it,
it worked good,
I mean, I don't think anything's winter-proof.
So.
Okay. So it sounds like maybe we need to do a little bit more research into the gate and see what the costs there would...
Are there other ways into the park?
There are ways into the park from behind, yes. So they could come in from the back gate. That would involve trespassing through property, but it could be done. I mean, it's not... Of course, you could climb the fence, too, if you're that desperate to get in. But I think we've seen some success with just closing the gates we do have. It keeps people out. So if they have to go through that much effort to get in there, then they're going to move on to another park.
Can I ask one more question?
Absolutely. You can ask as many questions as you
can. Could you tell me the time of year that you see the most activity, vandalism, assaults, whatever? Is it winter, summer?
No, it would be spring and summer. Maybe a little bit into the fall, particularly with Nets, you know, obviously, with the fall soccer program. But, yeah, predominantly I would say it's the summertime. You know, I mean, and it stands to reason, warm weather, more people out, more opportunities to do things, longer days, you know, so.
Is it overnight? In the middle of the night, is it?
Mostly in the night that we're seeing things.
Because the gate hasn't been closed? I'm still trying to understand.
There is some of that, yes, and gate issues, but I think more than that, I would like to see, and I'm kind of getting a little bit outside of the realm here, but it's relative to your question. I would like to see that back gate really get, you know, built up. I mean, it's a cattle gate right now. I mean, it's not, it doesn't really do anything, and we run into problems even with deer out there. And they, you know, because they can just go right over that gate or under it. Sometimes I've seen them do that. So if we get a fence gate that's similar to the fencing that's already there on the back side of the property, I think that would help tremendously too. Because it really isn't that difficult. Yeah, that's true. A lot of people will just be like, ah, it's too much effort. But especially the kids, they know that the back's open, so they just walk around. I mean, it's not that far
to go.
And if they think if the front gate's locked and shut, you know, it's, I think to a certain extent, they feel like they kind of have free rein in the place because, it's all locked up, you know, we can go.
Who's going to come in?
Right, exactly. Yeah. So it just kind of, that's my thing. I would really like to see some attention on that backside, personally. But.
Okay. We've got that down as a gate front and back, both sides. Jerry?
Another comment. We're talking about hours on visiting the park. It seems to me we'd have to set up designated hours, you know, when it opens up, the park opens up, and then when it closes, depending on the season. So we'd have to set up some guidelines as to, you know, what hours would be feasible for the park.
We set hours by ordinance at one point, and those hours were, it was closed from 11 p.m. to 6 a.m. And then we modified it by resolution to say dusk to dawn. Unfortunately, ordinance trumps resolution. So technically, in order to write any citation or anything, we're going off of 11 p.m. to 6 a.m. We incorrectly modified the hours.
Yeah. And which, as you know, is extremely ineffective in the wintertime.
Yeah.
Because it gets dark at, you know, 5 o'clock.
And it appears, at least through the summertime, when we were locking gates a little bit more frequently, that everyone seems to have a different definition of dusk out there. So it would be nice if hours are something this body's willing to consider to set, you know, maybe winter hours that are November through March, and then summer hours that are, you know, extended through there, you know, during our lighter seasons. Certainly when daylight savings kicks in, that's a challenge for us. Aside from that, and you'll see that on there, is signage. And the administration would like to pursue at some point doing some signage that does delineate the hours that are agreed upon, and then maybe some sort of standards of conduct that we've already adopted through the skate park and through the playground. But it's just so those that, you know, it's one more reminder as you enter the park as to, you know, what's expected when you're there. Further conversation from the group?
Well, I just want to comment that doing one gate isn't going to do it.
Right.
So if you're going to do gates, you've got to do the whole thing. Otherwise, I think you are worse off.
Okay. Should we take some public comment on solutions? Yeah? Public comment on solutions. Remember, step to the podium, state your name and address.
Anyhow, US 93, not a member of the community, well, member of the community, but not citizen of Stevensville proper. Based on my background, there are going to be little young people, we won't call them, we won't call them, that if there's a back gate, they're going to find it. If there's a low fence, they're going to find it. They're going to find every way, which way. It's like a mouse going into a house. And they will find a way. So anything that's done needs to be done all the way around the perimeter. Any gate on front, I think you guys had a little problem with gates up at the airport and getting fire trucks through. There isn't really much back there that could burn, but you could end up having to get an ambulance through. So if you go into a gate that is going to be secured, it needs to have some kind of an emergency control system on it. The patrol monitoring system for citizens and officers, if you guys have it, and I know you know, that the county is also doing a citizen academy with the sheriff's department. Right now there's one, supposedly, if they get four more people, to start in January. So you may have some people that you can get a little more community training using county resources. But I do know that they're looking for four more people. Signage is good for shooting men, even if it's in the city. Paint that repels, I'm going to guess that that's going to be pretty expensive. So the best and the biggest thing is the people that want to use the park need to take some ownership. And that's where your citizen monitoring comes in. But it needs to be done in a way that they are safe. The liability issues are done. Maybe going to the point of, you know, good radios, good repeaters in the area, so then everybody knows cell phones. Because not always, you know, if there's an electrical problem or something, you may need to have a couple radios available also. Community crime watch, that's perfect. Because that's citizen initiated. That's, you know, I can't come to you and say, you're bad. Without having some...
And she has before. Just...
Yeah, that's why I did it with him. But, and that's why I used John Monk once. The community crime watch is probably going to be one of your better choices because it's going to be community-based. The people that own it are protecting it. Like I said, any other outside modifications, kids are like mice. And if there's an opening, they're going to find it. Guaranteed. If you get to the point where you're doing the fobs, make sure that people don't do it every hour on the hour, because the kids will sit back and watch that. My pastor was the one thing I was told, don't be predictable. So whoever does it is going to have some kind of a thing so that the kids don't sit back and watch and say, okay, she always goes at 10 o'clock, and I know she's on duty tonight, so I'm going to wait till 10:15 and go in. It's just the way they are. That's human nature. And granted, I was working with the dregs of society, but they're no different. But kids will be like mice and find any hole they can. So if you're going to secure the front, you've got to secure the back.
Thank you. Public comment. Mr. Smith.
Oh, and go lesser before you go. Don't give away the security. Don't give away the issue of the security. But start with the lesser and work up to what has to be happened. You can't ever go backwards. It's like a price on a house. If you set it low, you can't go high. But if you set it... No, if you set it high, you can't. You know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, we get there. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Brandon Smith, 326 Valley View, Stevensville, Montana. Addressing what James said about the graffiti. The graffiti last year was actually done in January when it was freezing cold, and I actually said to myself when I saw it, how the heck did they get the spray can to work? So it was that cold. So again, it happens anytime during the year. We had the gentleman that climbed over the fence, well, not just one, but a couple gentlemen that climbed over the pool and decided to go swimming in the pool after it was closed down. And I actually told them personally, you need to go home, tell your parents you did this, and go get, you know, ER to get clean, because that was some nasty water. So these issues happen anytime, any day, 7 days a week. Again, we get back to there are multiple solutions that we can address that will help solve this. That's not why we're here. We're here to address the security issue. That is the issue.
We have been addressing these issues for years, as when I was the park board chairman. Ask James, he was on the park board also. We were addressing these same issues then. So again, let's implement at least one functional system, see if that helps us, and then we can address the other issues, because again, we have two other parks. We have the River Park, and then we have Father Valley. Realistically, the other parks in our system are people's backyards that they're taking care of. So then we need to address those security issues. Again, this may allow the police department to be freed up and extend their time at other areas within the community without having to constantly monitor that. We have other things that can be done, but this, again, let's institute what we've been working on, what has been approved, basically. Council approved that they would take this wonderful gift from a concerned citizen and allow it to proceed without issue. We're kind of beating a dead horse.
Other public comment. Sharkey?
Michael Sharkey, 203 St. Mary's Drive. I used to work in town for about 5 years, and I took my dog for a walk down in the park on a daily basis. And for a while, I got into reporting the graffiti on a daily basis, graffiti and vandalism and whatnot, as I discovered it on a daily basis, until I realized that nobody really cared or had the wherewithal to do anything about it. More important things to do, I'm sure. But I bring that up just to point out that I agree there is a problem. And there has been for a long time. I would suggest, though, that you take a good look at lighting. I suspect that lighting might be as effective or more effective than cameras. Most people are doing this in the dark. They don't do it in the dark. They aren't doing this in the daylight. They're doing it under cover of darkness. And if you can light up the park during the time it's open and it's dark out, I think you'll probably eliminate the need for a camera. But you know, it's something to look at as an alternative to cameras if you're looking for an alternative. We've had money, by the way, tucked away for years.
We spent it.
Well, we didn't spend it on park lighting.
Yes, we did.
We did? Mm-hmm. Was that for the bathrooms?
No, we turned on a few of the field lights, dusk to dawn. So there is additional lighting. The skate park has some lighting coverage, and the restroom facility has some lighting coverage.
We turned
all that on. It was existing lighting. We just did some retrofit of the system so that it would come on at dusk and turn off at dawn, but not the entire field would come on because we didn't want that much light out at the park to be respectful of the neighbors. The other lighting we did was we installed some lighting at the swimming pool as well that kind of casts out. Mr. Smith?
And that's what I was going to address, because the lighting that was just installed to help with security actually gave the individuals that did the latest tagging of the skate park basically light to do their tagging. So it really just to kind of enhance their drawing. Again, I get back to, we have a graffiti and prevention removal policy. We as a skate park committee volunteered back when, last winter, that graffiti happened, that we would gladly take care of that and get it cleaned. We communicated all spring, summer, and all the way up to this point too, that we would have gladly removed it, and here it sits and exists again. So I see our prevention policy isn't being followed, and again I get to, that's part of what lends our community to, how shall we say, entice others to recreate their artwork. So if we address these issues as far as graffiti immediately, we also address the issue to show these individuals that it's definitely not going to be tolerated. I'll just leave it at that.
Can I
ask a question real quick?
Sure.
So for reviewing options, is this the time to also discuss the cameras?
Sure. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm here in two capacities to answer questions, but as a citizen, James Marble, 124 Heritage. So I just wanted to address personally, there's a couple of things with the cameras. I'm not opposed to the cameras conceptually. Obviously, I think it's a good tool. However, I think there's a few things that we really have to look at. And I don't know the answer to this yet, and I don't know if the city's found this out yet, but what's weighing pretty heavy on me right now is whether or not the video imaging is subject to public disclosure.
It is.
Okay. So somebody can call up and say, I want a video of all the park down there, and we have to provide that to them.
Yes.
So that's the issue.
Just me personally, I got a big problem with that, because if I have my kids down there and I'm doing other things, I don't want somebody taking video of me or my family and having it for themselves to do whatever with it that they want to do. To me, that's an invasion of my privacy. I wasn't aware that was actually subject to public disclosure, and I know that you're in the public when you're there and people can see you anyway, but they don't have a recorded media to keep with them. To me, that just, and again, that's my personal thing, okay? I'm not speaking as a police
officer. I wasn't interrupting you, I'm just agreeing.
But that, from a citizen perspective, I will have a hard time with that, knowing that people can just take video anytime they want it, for me personally. Thank you.
Can I make a comment?
Sure.
That's what that's doing. That's that.
No, I know. But I'm not here with my family right now. I'm enjoying myself.
Right. And we're in a public meeting. I mean, we've noticed some.
That just really sent my red flags flying. You guys all remember the case of Mr. Duncan? He killed his mom and dad and stole the kids. Do you guys remember other cases where the people have been watching the kids? The guys that I used to work with would love to be able to FOIA public video. And what better person's kids to attack than the chief of police's kids? Because it's really easy to put names and faces and find out with public social media and stuff where anybody lives anymore. Having worked predominantly with sex offenders for 6 years, and if it's FOIA-able, that's dangerous. Because my guys would have loved to do that. And if my guys were here to tell you that, they did a presentation to the public once about, yeah, let me have all this access to you, to everything with your kids. I mean, for a while we had to take out the children's sections of every JCPenney mag or catalog that came in, because that was a trigger for my guys that I was supervising. So with that, I mean, I hadn't even thought of that one until he just started talking about his kids. Then knowing that it's public record, that it's FOIA, I mean, that's scary. And that comes from my past professional experience.
Mr. Michelson.
After talking to Brian, our city attorney, when I was going to put this on the agenda before I even had a discussion, I asked him about the privacy issue of the park. He said he checked extensively into it, as you well know at our meeting. He said that the minute you walk into a park, you give up your rights to privacy, because the word public means a big thing in a public park. Yes, you have a problem with your kids, but like Brian says, take your kids somewhere else. You have other options. Not to say you can't be there, but to use that and say, oh, my cameras, this is an invasion of your privacy, when being one down, and I understand the thing, but I'm being one down, and now we have two officers, and we still won't have the time to go in and do the part. It's just absurd to bring up privacy issues. The money here, everything's ready to go. We just have to say yes and move on with this. Right or wrong, it's worth a try, because doing nothing now is not an option anymore. It just cannot be.
I don't think anyone's suggesting that we do nothing. I think we're suggesting that we choose from the options that we've looked at.
I know, he just made a problem.
His model.
So, because that video is up for public, can there not be some kind of a resolution or a ordinance done by the city that says,
oh, yeah,
no, we are not going to, this is for police use only?
No.
Can you then put guidelines on who can access that?
No. It's a public record.
So a sex offender could access that? I mean, you can't...
Yes.
You can't deny them that, even if it's...
They can come in, fill out a Freedom of Information Act request and say, I would like the footage of Lewis and Clark Park on April 3rd from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. And we're obligated to provide that information to them because it's a system owned by the public.
Actually, it would not be, depending on the restrictions placed on...
Mr. Smith, would you please wait to be acknowledged by the chair before you speak?
Excuse me.
Step to the podium if you have public comment.
The same issue is why...
Ms. Howe, can we let Mr. Okay. Smith speak first? I'm sorry.
Well, I'm just addressing that issue. Basically, with your getting your ratings of your child molesters, they are not allowed to just get public information regarding children. Okay? That's... Get that out of your head. Secondary, if an individual comes in and requests that information, I'm sure it's going to register in someone within our internal system of, oh, do we know this person? You know, what are we doing, you know, regarding that? They still have a right to it. And that right is just like we're being Facebooked right now. That right is just as if you go and slip and fall, you ask for that video. Same thing. You have a right to the video. Your children are going to be safer being videoed down there, where at least if they are assaulted again, you would see who assaulted them and put a face to that individual. And at least we would be able to, as has happened recently, charge that individual. So again, I'm not understanding what the hesitation is and the legality is and the scare tactics that this is going to expose our children to something that is evil. It's not. It's teaching you to be respectful when you are in a public place, such as your own heart, that and become accountable. It's just like him asking for us to be, you know, citizens and watching our community. It's the same thing. It just relieves part of the system to where they can go and address other issues that exist. Maybe with that, we'll see good results, and then we can say, Father Ravelli. Then we can say River Park. I mean, it all depends on what we put up there. Again, we're going to be putting a campground up there at the River Park. The state is. So the state, when it comes to cameras, go on your tourism sites. You see state parks where people are walking in front of the geysers and the cameras. I just don't understand what the issue is. And I'm sorry, Kathy needs to speak.
No.
Ms. Howe.
When we started talking about the kids, how many newscasts do we see that the kids' faces are blocked out? And it's for protection of kids. That's why you don't see kids' faces. That's why kids' names aren't mentioned in police reports and stuff. It's because it's for protection of kids. Every news article you see, it's an unidentified minor, it's an unidentified 12-year-old. You don't see their faces when video is being shot on a crime scene. The one thing that happened is when they're going live at these mass shootings and stuff, you're seeing those faces, but it's because there's no time. So if there was a way that you could do the Vaseline thing on the faces of the kids, you'd be okay.
Thank you. Ms. Barker.
Something else to, you know, security cameras too. St. Mary's is installing cameras and they're down in that particular part because of the fact of vandalism starting as well. So, I mean, it's still, it's a It's a public place.
It's just not publicly owned, is I think the difference.
But it's still out there.
Ms. Cook.
Kathy Cook, 435 Whitetail Way. One thing about, I understand your concern about that, about having your children on video. There will be signs there saying that the park is under surveillance. You have a choice. Don't go to that park, go someplace else. But this is what needs to be done for this park. I've been looking through these options, and there's a lot of good ideas there. I appreciate the FOB and the crime monitoring. I'm sure that's not free, so there's a cost for that. I would be more than willing to do that because I'm down there for 3 months out of the year pretty regularly, and I've reported many instances of wrongdoings. And that's the difference with some people, is that sometimes you see something and you take that responsibility and you make a report about it. But unfortunately, there's a lot of people, and I hate to say this, but a lot of parents that won't take that responsibility and they let their kids just run wild. One example is this past summer for Creamery Picnic, I was running the dunk tank. I spent Friday afternoon setting everything up, filling the water tank. I had to get ready for the next day because I was holding two different fundraisers the next day. And I got a call from someone saying that kids were swimming in the dunk tank. How safe is that? You know, there was nothing that I could do to cover it, to, you know, lock it up or anything. That's the way it was. But I could not stay there from 3 o'clock in the afternoon until the next day to watch it. But all the parents around there did nothing. And when I got there the next morning to look at it, I mean, it was filthy. And like I said, people won't take that responsibility to either say to kids, hey, get out of the tank. Also, it's a safety issue, anything like that. So, as I say, you know, yes, these solutions look great, but there wasn't money available in the budget from the town for security cameras in September. Where's the money going to come from these options?
Chief.
So if I can put the chief hat on for a second. So if we are looking at cameras, one of the things that I wanted to put out there that we need to be sure and address, the 2.8 millimeter field of view is pretty broad, and that's good, but it's also bad too, because unless you have an extremely high resolution, you can't zoom that video in to get the fine detail. It'll just pixel it and you'll lose it. So in order for us to use that as a tool, we would definitely need a camera with a narrower view, particularly at the entrance, to identify license plates and so forth. So just keep that in mind too, that we'd have to, you know, definitely consult and look at that as an option.
Mr. Smith?
That actually was, when we met with each individual contractor, that was a discussion. Each one of them basically said to get a camera at that angle to get license plates distinctly, you might as well put it in a tank and still it's not going to be there. So they suggested these angles that would allow you to still see the license plate, see the vehicle and all of that. It just may be a little, not grainy, shall we say, but you will still see it, be able to pick up from the angles that they have disseminated.
Ms. Motley.
I think the solutions that you guys came up with were fine, but I think the issue at hand is the video cameras and the security system, and I think we need to move forward with this. To me, this is our best option at this point in time, and it needs to happen, and we just need to get it done.
because there is a time limitation. We can look at the other things as time permits, but I think right now this is where we need to move.
Further discussion from the board or before I take more public comment? Ms. Cook.
Yeah.
Yes, please.
Just two things that I forgot to say. One thing with the system, and I appreciate your questions, Jay has also specified that this has facial recognition on it. So if there is someone that's in your records, you will be able, it will actually zoom in on them and you will be able to identify them. One thing also that I was hoping, Jay did the systems at the country store that just down here in town. And Corey Burkhart, who's the manager down there, I talked with him and he actually took me upstairs and showed me the resolution. And they have, I mean, they have probably much more advanced system than this, but it was like, I'm looking at Vicki right now, and it was perfect. And I was very impressed with it. Corey was gonna try and be here tonight, but he had an emergency, so he was not able to. So he said he would, you know, welcome anybody to come down there and take a look at the system. But it's helped their stores immensely. And this company has done, I think, all the Ace Hardwares in Montana. They're not just a little company. They've done some big jobs like that. So, but that's the one thing I wanted to mention to you was the facial recognition. And if you went down there and looked at their system down there, it would be really beneficial.
Mr. Adams.
Mark Adams, 319 College Street. To further Mrs. Cook's recent statement, I work at the country store, and just recently it helped us apprehend a shoplifter. So it does work, and it is definitely worthwhile.
Have you paid your fine?
No, it wasn't me. I work there, Bob.
Doesn't mean you ain't shop.
Ms. Endicott.
So again, just thinking about why we're here, there is a problem. This problem, Kathy has been talking about since my daughter's been in soccer 10 years. Those nets are cut every year. We have a solution. She's, you know, given us this great opportunity to take care of something now, I think, but then we come up with all of these things that would be great to have in the future. I think a lot of these things are wonderful, but I think we have a solution right now to do it. I think it's going to deter a lot of the kids from doing that. If we have some signage, they see the cameras. It's going to happen. The park's going to be vandalized, and I've seen it with the playground, and it breaks my heart, but I know the community as a whole, I think, can get together and do a lot of good things to prevent other things from happening, but I think we have to have the cameras right now. It will take care of the issue that I think the first issue that she's been bringing this up every single year and nothing's been done. Mm-hmm. And now we can say, let's get this done. How are they working? Then, and we're going to implement some programs. That's wonderful. Then let's talk about gates. Let's talk about fencing and get it in the budget and get it done. Mm-hmm. Because with the parks, it seems like there's always something that we want to do, but we can't figure out how to do it, and we just, let's do it. Let's get those cameras up. I think it's gonna help.
So. Ms. Mickens.
Carolyn Mickens, 211 Buck Street. Is foolish in my eyes for the council and the park. I'm so thankful that you're speaking out. You have this wonderful gift that's being offered to you, and I am the other one who is backing the rest of it so that it can go through. If you have the monies, why in God's name would you say, no, we're not going to go that route because of this, this, and this? If we have the cameras, You have pictures of who's creating the problems. You have pictures of who's painting the graffiti. You have pictures of who's cutting the nets. You have pictures of the assault persons. Let's go for it and just say, yes, yay, Kathy, let's go for the cameras. Because mm-hmm. you do have a deadline, December 1st, and that's what, 2 days away?
31st.
Three? 31st. Oh, the 31st.
Yeah.
Okay. But still, there's a deadline.
Hold on.
Ms. Holcomb.
I would have to agree. I mean, I've heard this year after year after year after year, and the three terms I've been on here, and I have been trying to fight this and get those in there, and I've always been shut down. I think it's a great gift that Kathy and a couple other, you know, the Civic Club and Carolyn is doing. They're donating it. I don't see why we don't want to do this. I think it's a solution, like everybody said. Let's do it. Let's get at least something going, because it's not going to stop. It won't stop unless we make them see that we are being proactive, and maybe they will stop, hopefully. But we have a solution. Let's move forward with that solution.
Okay. Anything further from the board here? Chief, anything, any remarks?
No, just that if we can, you know, work with that company to say, because the realistic approach to this, I mean, you know, I appreciate the facial recognition part of that, but in order to get what we need for a prosecution, we've got to definitely make a positive identification. Mm-hmm. And to ensure that that takes place, again, I say about the resolution, the narrower view, those types of things. So if I have the ability to talk to them and say, you know, specifically, this is what we're going to need, and maybe work with them, I think that would be better than, mm-hmm. you know, because he's not down there all the time, and he doesn't see, like, you know, the particular hotspot areas that we deal with issues and stuff like that. So I think that would be advantageous if that door is open. So if we're going forward with this, I would like that opportunity to do that.
No, and he would have been here tonight. He's just on the road. Salt Lake, so
okay.
Otherwise, he's more
than
willing to answer any questions and be flexible with it.
Okay, while we're reviewing this camera option, internally, the chief and I and some other key staff have held some conversations, and I think, you know, to help the administration in facilitating and administering the system once, you know, the keys are turned over, so to speak, we have a few questions. Audrey, do you want to come up and share those with us, and hopefully the either folks here tonight in the public or the board kind of can give the administration some direction on how to tackle these issues, because if cameras are in fact the direction that we have a consensus on going into, I imagine there's going to be some policies and things that we're going to have to quickly pull together in order to utilize the system. And the other thing that we need to consider, while Brian has said that, yes, you know, he believes that, you know, it's a public park, and so there's not necessarily an expectation of privacy, that doesn't keep it from being challenged by somebody. I mean, we're still liable or at risk for someone filing some sort of suit against us because we have a public record of their children playing in the playground. And so those are things to consider. Audrey, go ahead.
So when we were talking internally, we were just discussing the whole camera system and wanting to know what council's expectations are around that. So who are you anticipating managing the system? Is it going to be the police department? Is it going to be the clerk? Because actually the clerk is in charge of retention of all things employer requests. Another question is, what are the expectations of reviewing? Are we going to be reviewing the video when we get a complaint, or is there an expectation that we're doing this on a frequent basis? We would need to, as the mayor alluded to, establish some kind of record retention, access and retention policy around that. And then with retention, not understanding how many years you may need to keep these videos. Storage for videos, how we're going to manage the storage and longevity of the retentions according to state law. And I think that's all I had, except for one more question. How do we view it? We're not certain how you view the documents or the video. Do you go down to the park? Do you have some software, remote viewing software? We weren't given enough information to understand how this system is going to work internally for police department, for the clerk's office.
Thanks for summarizing those. I'm sorry, if you wouldn't mind, just let's hit those questions one at a time. And those that we need board input on, we'll get those now. And then if we need specific questions for the folks that are kind of spearheading the system itself, we'll get those. So the first one was, who manages this internally for the town of Stephensville? Mr. Michelson?
Town?
Okay, who? Are we going to give it to a department? I mean, is it the clerk that's responsible for maintaining the system? Is it the chief, or the police department? Is it Parks and Recreation? Who is it who is responsible for this, for the maintenance and upkeep and whatever it takes for the system?
Part of it, of course, would have to be the police, because okay. Number one there is security for crime or vandalism. He would be looking at it, I would hope. Not every day, but if there's something that's happened in there, a targeting or whatever, then he would go to the camera like most people do. Set a time frame, go through it, right? And you would find it. Not looking at the loop every day.
So as far as that goes, I think more than just the police department, because we're also talking about maintenance and other things like that, so we need to identify. Yes, police department can monitor after an event, obviously,
right,
to look for evidence and so forth. But if there is something outside of that it's being monitored, I wouldn't say that would be a police department on a continuous review type thing. But I think as far as the maintenance of the system, to identify what department specifically that would be. The streets and alleys, presumably, would be doing that, but I don't know that.
I'm not sure that they have the capacity to maintain technology like that, to be frank. I mean,
you won't know unless you ask them.
I think I know the answer. Mr. Phillips.
Who's taking care of the computers in the office?
Yeah.
We have we outsource that to an IT company.
Who's taking care of the camera?
Well, then I think that we do. I mean, we're taking care of the skate park and Bear Mountain right now. I mean, it was all donated, but it came to the town, so we're the ones maintaining all that right now.
Correct. Maintenance of a skate park and maintenance of a playground, I think, are different than maintenance of a security or of a camera system.
No, they're not.
Did you find that out? I mean, it's more directed, I think, to Kathy about the details of the security system.
I think what we were looking for was exactly who is supposed to be the custodian of the system. What department are we tasking that with? It sounds like obviously review of that happens with the police department, but that's usually when an incident occurs. Mm-hmm. Kathy?
Well,
just a quick statement here. I think Mr. Michelson wasn't too far off. It is the town. It's a tool for everybody. It's not just for the police department, but it is for the maintenance department. Sprinkler head loop. When? Where? You can go back. That's this system is so user friendly that you can go back a couple of days. As I said, Corey showed me. It's like, okay, this is the person that shoplifted, 7 days ago, but he could find that. And that's the same thing. If you have an incident that happens and they say, okay, it was on November 20th, around 3 o'clock or so, you can pull up that day. And then you can take that and save it. So you don't have to save 365 days of the system.
I think that's the challenge is that because this is public record, we have to retain the video.
Well, you can't save it, but then you can
we have
take
to.
That one.
It's not like it's not a can.
You
it's
can
a
take that one piece of evidence and save it separately. But this could be for everybody. It's very user-friendly.
So I have a question, because we're I don't mean to speak out of turn here, but I think we're broadening what we were trying to narrowly talk about here. But specifically, the system maintenance, does this company provide that maintenance component? like a camera goes out or something like that, that's got to get replaced. Is that something that they
do? That's what they do.
That's okay. So if there's a particular IT issue, if you will, with this particular system, they provide that as a service.
Exactly.
Is that cost written into the purchase, or is that after the fact?
No, there's a warranty on the system itself for 1 year on the system.
Okay.
And then there are, if let's say a camera goes out, that would be a responsibility of the town to replace that camera. At a cost of, I think, they're roughly $70, $78, or $50, depending on which one it is. So again, it comes back to the maintenance. This has been part of, as the park board has stated so eloquently, is it's been an issue since forever. We need to start rationalizing what we want as a community, how we want to spend those funds, because we have a pool that right now the DEQ has shut down. So again, these are the issues that we are facing as a community. Again, this just is one of those issues that we can check out.
Okay, we're falling off track here. I think we're just really looking for a custodian of the system. It sounds like that for review purposes, the police department will review it for an incident, but outside of that, we're going to seek that we're not going to outsource any IT work or anything like that at the cost of the town to do that.
Yep.
Okay.
So that would include storage of the old. You're going to have to buy a storage system.
Yeah, correct. Backups.
That's coming up here.
I think that the clerk will get to that.
John Monk, 401 Central. The school is a public entity too. They film everything. You walk down the hall, you walk in a classroom, you're on film. Okay? They don't save. They use it when they need to use it, and it's not maintained, not kept. They go back a week, maybe 2 weeks, and then bingo, we're moving on and filming over the same stuff. So I don't quite understand why
you don't have to save it for
a year.
We don't know that. That's excuse me. The clerk does know that there is a schedule. I think we know that municipal records are typically kept by Schedule 8. We don't know specifically how long that schedule delineates this type of technology being saved, because to some degree, we're held to Schedule 8. The school may be held to Schedule 13. I don't know.
What I am saying is
that, you know, we'll have to vet that through our legal process. The clerk will have to understand exactly how long those will be kept. And we'll have to implement some sort of policy that delineates that, how long they're kept, how they're stored, and then how they're accessed after storage.
That's
maybe that's something that we need to talk to Hamilton about, because if they're already implementing this into their town, find out what type of ordinance they have. But we need to figure it out.
That's why we're here tonight, folks. If we're going to adhere to this December 31st deadline and ramrod this through, we got to figure this out tonight so that the administration can develop the policies around how this is administered.
We have gone to other towns and asked why would this be different? Why can't we reach out to all these other communities that have cameras? Because I know Missoula has them. Hamilton has them. I mean, just reach out to them and see what their policy is.
And we can do that, but we had to come to this table tonight to get the expectation from you as to what you wanted separate from those policies, because I don't think those policies are going to exactly fit the needs of our community, much like the e-communication policy. We tweaked that just to fit us. And so if that's the direction, we needed to hear that tonight. There was no other forum for us to know that. Chief?
And I think that absolutely can be done from my perspective to contact and say, just to preface this discussion, this particular item, there is a retention schedule for all public records, and that's determined by the Secretary of State's office. And you can review that, it's online, you can look through it. Some of it is an incredibly long time. In particular, for law enforcement, there are certain items of record that we have to maintain for 75 years.
So, I mean, when we're looking at this, we've got to look at the big picture, too, and say, we've got to particularly identify, you know, the video, how long do we have to actually retain this? And I think those questions probably already did come up in other jurisdictions, so I think we can find that out relatively quickly. But we do have to be aware, guys, that there's going to be a cost associated. And I'm not saying we shouldn't do this, okay? Don't get me wrong. I'm in a weird place because from the chief's perspective, I'm like, hey, cameras, finally. Yay. And then personally, you heard what I said personally. So it's a very strange thing for me right now.
Well, maybe you should recuse yourself. I'm serious. If you're using both angles here, recuse yourself.
I can speak intelligently on both sides of that, Bob. Wow. So here's the issue. If we do have to retain for a certain period of time, we've got to look at what we're going to have for a server in order to save that, you know, back up the data and that type of thing too. So that is another consideration to make. But absolutely, I think you're right, Robin. We can find out some of those.
I would like to just add too that we met internally as like knowing that this is most likely going to happen and wanting to make sure we understand council's expectations, that we don't get ahead of you and assume what your expectations are, but get a real good understanding of it and then go do all the legwork we need to do based on this conversation tonight and bring it all back to you for consideration and ultimately approval. I just wanted to clarify that. We're not asking these questions as obstructionists. It's just so we can do the job to support council.
No, I understand. How do you know?
Mr. Motley.
I'd suggest or make the recommendation that you give the custodianship of the system to the mayor's office. The mayor has staff that can get a technician lined up on task to do whatever repair needs to be done. The mayor has the ability to bring it to the council's attention, whatever might need to be done. I would give the custodianship of the system back to the mayor. Certainly give it to the town, but let the mayor be the point on the maintenance of the system. That's what I understand the question on the table really is who's going to be in charge of this thing?
Well, right.
I mean, we have all these pieces and parts. Yeah, we got to address all these pieces and parts, but we got to have somebody that's going to take point. And I think the mayor's office would be the right person to put in point.
Mr. Smith.
I would actually leave it with Janelle and the chief, to be honest. And once there is an issue as far as the retention, if you look at the retention issues, we just did our retention of our emails recently. And how long are we saving our emails for?
We refer to Schedule 8. I don't know off the top of our
head. No, there has to be a specific timeline within Schedule 8 of how long you're going to save them for, and that's designated. So again, it becomes the same issue. This system itself, you can, you know, it's like a tourism system. Throw it up online. It's a revolving loop if you want. And then you're retaining it right there via Facebook. I mean,
is that, Audrey, do we have enough information to put something together?
I did. We have one more question. Is what is council's expectations on the frequency of viewing? Is it only upon a stated incident? Or are you wanting some regular frequency where we're going back and reviewing them? What is council looking for?
How about if we put the cameras in place and have the mayor and you guys review them on a period? Then you guys would know more than us without even looking at it. You know what I'm saying? You guys are here on the floor doing the, and then you could come back with a recommendation maybe and say, you know what? We're looking at this period of time, there's nothing going on, we set a pattern. This time here, there's more activity we might be able to look at. I'm just throwing out an idea. And that way, you're not looking at them all, or we think that you're required that you have to look at a goddamn camera or whatever. It's part of your dark duty.
I'll indicate just for the sake of keeping you in the loop and warning you that the workload is as such that I can tell you the video would likely only be reviewed upon an incident being reported.
Right.
That's the only reason we'd ever look at it.
That's fine.
Ms.
Snack. Sorry, I'm going to come from an IT perspective here. You have 10 cameras. Each has 4 terabytes. I don't know how long it would take to fill that. That's 40 terabytes for the system.
I believe it's 4 terabytes for just The 4 terabytes for all 10 cameras.
So that's all four, all 10?
Yeah. So okay. All 10 go to one.
Okay,
yeah.
This is not like retaining email. Email is compressed into nothing. These are pictures, this is video. You are gonna require, no matter how long you have to store it, if it's a year, this is major storage.
They are compressed files also.
Pardon?
They are compressed files also. When you do the download, they are compressed files. So they're, your storage issues, again, are minimal.
They're not minimal, but thank you. Imagery, even compressed, is not minimal, okay? I'm 30 years in IT, right? So I think I know. And you do need to be prepared to buy a server and to have adequate storage, however that is deemed. I would not put it in the cloud. This is as much as possible private property. I know it's available to the public, but you don't want it.
You don't want it breached.
And you certainly don't want it on Facebook. So you just need to be aware that you have a task out here where you're going to be backing up all of this. Not only backing it up, it has to be accessible in a way that you can, it has to be stored in a way that you can say, I want to look at 2 years back on this date at this hour. This is not trivial. I'm not saying you shouldn't do it. I'm just saying.
Have an awareness.
You need some pretty good IT assistance here, which you could outsource, but you're going to need it, and you're going to need a server, and you're going to need storage.
And money to do it, sure.
So cross that real quick. And Lloyd's absolutely correct. I mean, the server that we have internally, just for backing up our computer systems and backing up our body-worn video systems, is pretty substantial, and it's almost full. I mean, it gets full quick. So, you know, a video system that's running 10 cameras and dumping massive amounts of data in there, we're definitely going to need something. And you do have to have software to be able to retain that and search by
and search it, time. Exactly.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that's, it's all capable, you know, it's all possible, and probably even in this system where you have that dedicated server just to the system that will accommodate all that data. That's another thing.
That's what it does.
We just got to look at that and just figure out what that
costs. It's just somebody has to be able to do that, and that takes skill.
Sure. Yeah. Audrey?
And the next question is following up to that, is where is the software system stored? Is it there? Is it remotely over here? How does it work? Is it going to be in the clerk's office and the police office? That will help us understand how we're going to do it, too.
It could be used on any one of your phones, placed on any one of your desktops. You can access it via your desktop. James can access it via out in patrol.
So more technology will give us a software system as part of the package?
That's part of the software comes with it. It was the facial recognition, the ease of access that you basically pull up, you know, at this designated Wi-Fi spot. It transfers it to the main server system. You have the code via that you can type in that'll shoot that image of all the cameras up, and you can actually go through and choose what camera you want to view, whether it's camera 1, camera 6, camera 8, right from your phone. That's how easy the system is.
As long as you're within the prescribed storage of the camera at the time. However, if you're trying to look at 2 months ago, that has to be on a separate storage system with search capability.
That's part of the software package that is on your desktop that would, if you downloaded this information to a disk,
You can't download it to your desktop.
It sounds like this is something that we're going to have to work directly with more, so we can touch and feel it and figure out exactly what it looks like. Ms. Barker?
How are you storing those cameras that you and data?
Facebook.
it's all just stored on Facebook?
Currently.
Obviously, you have to keep it for something because it's for a record.
Currently, it's stored in Facebook, and that is the record. But we will be going to the new website and agenda management software. The agenda management software, when you go onto the site, whether internally or externally, you'll be able to either hear the audio, click on the audio, or click on the video. So it will be stored in our internet web-based system.
So I mean, it's basically the same to me. It's the same thing. I mean, you're mm-hmm. still, other than the security or the privacy part of it. Yes, I understand that and being public, but you're still storing it somewhere.
Well, we're having the capability to store these meeting minutes or these meetings as part of the software system for the agenda management. So it'll be on our website, essentially.
Currently, we use the audio recording as the official record of these meetings, and so that is stored on our server internally in the building.
Right.
Chief?
I just thought about something. Cloud storage is an option, yes or no, with the system? Cloud storage? Yeah. Okay. Because that also could be something that we look at, too. Have somebody else with the server someplace else storing that data.
Audrey, are our questions answered to the best we can pull something together? Okay.
Can I make a comment?
Mr. Sharkey.
Regarding what you're talking about?
Sure.
So it's my understanding that the recording equipment will be located at the swimming pool?
That's my understanding as well.
Is that everybody's understanding?
Yes.
How about looking at getting that information to this building? Sounds like it's going to be a more elaborate system than just a video recorder. It's going to require a server. It's going to require people to be constantly monitoring the system, make sure it's functioning properly, probably on daily business. It's going to require, as far as monitoring what's going on at the park, by looking at the different cameras, and remember, it takes 1 hour to monitor 1 hour of videos. That would be a full-time job for like four people if you really wanted to monitor all 10 cameras for the entirety of whatever they're recording. So I don't think that's a logical thing to do. So my suggestion came up when I was listening to her talk about who's going to manage it and how they're going to manage it. I was imagining somebody running back and forth to the swimming pool from the town hall. Trying to figure out what's going on and moving information by hand probably to the town hall.
It'd be my recommendation that we find an alternative location for that equipment aside from the swimming pool.
Well, it doesn't seem like it's that far away. You might be able to get the signal.
I just think, you know, with the cost of this equipment, I don't, and the investment the community is certainly making, I don't know as though the swimming pool is the best place for that with a wet location. It's often visited by children, and you know it's prone to not being taken care of there. So, Ms. Barker.
Have we thought about the sewer plant? Putting it down there?
Mr. Smith.
I mean, it's a monitored area, so there's somebody there at all times. It's
just
line of sight.
Close to here, though.
Well, it's a line of sight. There's people there almost all the time. So.
It all comes down to your repeater size to get your signal that far. And so, in essence, we would have to put a pole out in not our property.
Have we talked to them about it? I mean, it's...
We haven't talked to them because, again, the expense, we were trying to minimize expenses, being that constituents were paying for it and the town wasn't, because those repeaters themselves... are quite expensive. Again, it comes down to it is a wireless-based system, so you can, nobody has to monitor it at all.
Is that Marla's property that we're talking about that's through there?
I don't know. Which property are we talking about?
Are you talking about the property going down to the, have we talked to Marla about, Mila, about putting it? I mean, it's a question. I mean,
if it would be something
that she would be willing to have that little piece on there. I mean, how big of a piece is it going to be that it's going to harm that much?
It would be easier for us to shoot the signal realistically from the pool to the top of our building here with a repeater because of situations that it would need to go back towards that. So there are options out there. We did look at those. it just kind of increases the cost expenditure, and we were trying to minimize that, and we already have the two existing buildings with the electricity and the, because again, you get down to the wireless itself. There is an internet connection within the pool. There is not an internet connection within the shop, the bathroom area.
The challenge with our internet connection at the swimming pool is that that's donated to us at a very, very, very low bandwidth, enough to run our cash register so that we can process credit cards. That was the understanding when that was donated to us, that we would keep the bandwidth low. So I think maybe streaming video over the internet may be problematic, and it may lose our donation. So that may be something we look at with this company, is to have that video brought here to this building where it'd be safer. Jim?
So we discussed the piece on who manages this system. My question then is going to go back to whose budget is going to be affected for any of these additional pieces, or when a camera has to be replaced.
I'd say since it's an asset of Lewis and Clark Park, then it would come out of the general fund park budget, which is tight.
That's what I was wondering. Okay, thank you.
So,
could I suggest that in the next couple of days, you have a clarification about how the IT
yes.
works and assess who's going to take care of it and how much storage.
Yeah, and I think that that's something we're going to put into policy so it's written down and everyone knows what the expectation is. Okay.
Is there any chance you can get this date pushed ahead a month or two?
Hey, guys.
December 31st date seems to be an unnecessary pressure on the decision-making process.
I agree. I think that, you know, it was suggested by Ryan, the attorney, that if the community came to a consensus and said, look, you know, we're committed to this project, and this is something we want to see happen, then he didn't see why we couldn't come together and collectively agree to extend the deadline to a certain date. If it's an issue of expending funds before December 31st or something like that, I also think that there's no reason that if the town council and the park board tonight, we've brought a consensus together that security cameras are the way to go, and the town council shows that good faith to say, yeah, we're going to adopt some policies and we're going to implement and approve this program, then there's no reason I don't think that the finances couldn't be donated to the town and held so that the project can be fully vetted through and make sure that all these pieces are implemented and that we've absolutely thought this through and made sure that everything's ready to go so when we want to use it, it's usable. Ms. Holman.
The problem I have with this is we've known about this since September 10th.
For all intents and purposes, you actually didn't know about this until the meeting before last. That was when the proposal actually came to the town council under public comment. Ms. Barker.
Kathy brought this to us quite some time ago and has asked many times about it. And now we had said at other meetings that we thought it was a great idea, that it needed to be implemented. She has offered a certain date for this to be done. And so now we're going to pass up free.
No. We're not saying
that's what
my suggestion at all. My suggestion was we just take the pressure off of ourselves to get these questions answered. This particular time of the year is a difficult time to get anything done.
Correct.
If you could just move it ahead a month or two, and we have plenty of time to answer the questions of Mrs. Knapp and the other questions that were brought up by the staff as to how it operates, further questions about the hardware and possibilities there where it might be located better elsewhere.
I think as a group tonight we've decided we're beyond the point of do we or don't we. Now we're on to how we.
How.
Yeah.
I think that's fine. We need to answer the how we a little bit, and it's hard to do that at this very given moment.
So can I just add something real quick? I think from my perspective, I think what we really need to answer immediately is what that retention schedule is, because that will determine whether we even need a server. I mean, if we don't have to retain these, and if the system is built to retain, let's say, for sake of argument, I don't know, although you might know, but 30 days of data, Okay, and if we're not required to retain that data for longer than that, then it may be a moot point.
That's true.
If looking at the server and the cash right. flow and so forth. So I think that is really the question needs to be answered immediately. Mm-hmm. But if we're looking at proceeding regardless, I think we can deal with the other nuances and work it out. The issue really is about finances, because I know that if we do have to retain it for a long period of time, the cost associated with that large of a server, just the little one that we have, and that's...
That was 5 terabytes.
Yeah, well, each compartment is how many terabytes in our system, in the Drobo?
I thought it was 1 terabyte per slot. So
no, it's five. Okay. I think it's 20 terabytes altogether, which is a lot of data, and it's full already almost. So if you have to retain it for a long period of time, I think that unit was somewhere in like $3,000 or something. I mean, we're talking about a significant cost.
We capitalized it as $5,000.
So we need to find that out first, I think. More
so I agree. It could be a very simple answer. Let's find out.
And we may know that answer by noon tomorrow. I think what Mr. Sharkey was getting at is that, you know, this is a difficult time of year. The administration has other things going on, too. And so, you know, we have to take care of our day-to-day work and do some other work. And so in order to accommodate this new project, which sounds like it's going to be some considerable research for some of us and some policy development, we'd like some wiggle room on the deadline to, you know, to pull the trigger. Mr. Michelson.
As you well know, fellow Barker and I put this on the agenda. And you and I agreed to have this town meeting. And if this was agreed on, which this will go forward, as we all know, the cameras will, and will work out, like he said, and everybody else, and even Vicky said, we can work out, and even Jeff said, for you to work out the things around it, the terabyte, the IT stuff. But let's get those guys going, get them on the ground, get the cameras in, and then work all the stuff around it. So I would like to go ahead.
But are you prepared if it would cost so much money? Because I don't know the budget. Do you feel comfortable that you could figure out how to get the funds to get the cameras working to be legal and compliant? That's the question that I think it if we don't already know that, so I didn't know the process and how much you guys had already known, that's a huge thing. Obviously we need the cameras, but then you can maybe talk to the other towns. So there's a lot. I don't think we can get this all answered by the time you want. We do want to go forward if that's what we're going to agree with. Can we do that if we have to purchase some other things? That's if you guys would know.
Renee, from my perspective and my experience in dealing with this, particularly with retention regarding video, just from the criminal side, okay, the answer was pretty readily available. So I don't want to speak out of turn, but I'm thinking that we can probably get this answered tomorrow. I don't think that'd be tough. And then we're going to know.
Yeah.
I mean, if they say, no, you got to save it for a year,
we
got to look at that cost and figure out what we're going to do. But if they say, no, you know, 30 days is fine, you don't have any issues there, you should be good to go. Well, there's your answer. So I don't think it's going to be tough to get to that answer.
Maybe MMIA could answer it.
Possibly.
Yeah.
We'll lean more likely on our legal counsel. But I mean, the schedule is readily available to us online, so it's just a matter of finding an appropriate place that applies to this organization. Mr. Michelson.
So, could you set a December 3rd meeting then?
We cannot do a December 3rd. I sent you an email today because of the 48-hour notice requirements. So, we can do a meeting anytime after the 3rd. We can publish an agenda tomorrow for any meeting after the 3rd of December, but we couldn't do it with that. That's Monday.
Monday. How about 4th? Is this this item here?
Do we have anything in here on December 4th?
I won't be able to be here. I have to take my mom to have surgery. So I will not be here the 4th or the 5th.
Park board on the 4th.
Park board typically
meets. There's no.
So the 4th is a possibility.
How about town budget meeting on Monday?
Correct. So Is the 6th an acceptable date?
Yeah.
Just since so that Robin can come, and that gives us more time, because tomorrow's Friday already. And so, you know, we need more time than just, I mean, because if we don't get the answer tomorrow, we're going to need time to research it.
That's fine.
And we've got meetings and stuff going on as well. So we can schedule a special meeting for the 6th of December to fully consider the installation of security cameras or surveillance cameras at Lewiston Flood Park.
Brian did want to make sure that on the agenda item that we get for it, the company's name.
Sure, yeah, we'll work with him on that. Okay, so we've obviously identified, Lolly, go ahead.
Just when you do find out the retention period, it would be helpful to send a quick email.
Yeah, we can update everybody through a memo, absolutely. We've worked through identifying the problem, defining what that problem looks like. We've reviewed a number of options. It sounds like we've got some options to look at down the road that maybe the park board will consider in the future, and the council in their budgeting process. And you know, in reviewing those, it sounds like we're moving forward on surveillance cameras for Lewiston Clark Park. What we'll do as an administration is we're going to continue to update both Park Board and Council on the monitoring of that system, how it's effective, whether it's effective or not, and if there's any adjustments that need to be made. And I think the police department will be critical in that process as well. Based on statistical information that we're already able to obtain from the park, we'll be able to see if there's any change in activity down there. Any further public comment before we close that? I do have a public comment that was received via email today that I'll read under the public comment portion of the agenda. Excuse me. Received this afternoon. Let me catch up here. It says, Steve, I should consider running the below by Mr. West as to what exactly the compelling interest is for security cameras at the park, the place where I donated 3 days of my time and tools to help build Bear Mountain. Is the park not secure? Are citizens subject to unwanted or dangerous crimes, such as injury, rape, or incest? Perhaps cameras at the homes and on the motorcycles of former Steve I police would have been more beneficial to society. Individual Montana Code annotated 2017, the Constitution of the State of Montana, Article 2, Declaration of Rights, Part 2, Declaration of Rights, Right to Know. Section 9, Right to Know, no person shall be deprived of the right to examine documents or observe the deliberations of all public bodies or agencies of the state government and its subdivisions, except in causes which the demand for individual privacy clearly exceeds the merits of public disclosure. Right of Privacy, Section 10, Right of Privacy, the right of individual privacy is essential to the well-being of a free society and shall not be infringed without the showing of a compelling state interest. For clarification, because of this email, we responded, this was from Dan Leffler, we responded, we'll forward your email, or pass your email along, would you like your email part of the public official correspondence that the mayor and council receives read in the record? You're more than welcome to attend tonight's meeting, etc. He responded, I have very little tolerance for ignorance and nonsensical banter. Therefore, self-control prevents me from attending these meetings. For example, more technologies appears incompetent. They are using Google Earth imagery for the map. It's not a map from 2014. He cites 2017 imagery is available. Feel free to include my email in the official correspondence, Dan. Further public comment.
So what was that there?
This is an email. Did we pass this along? You were all provided, this was just read. We can provide copies to you folks. Okay, if there's nothing further, then we're adjourned. Thanks, folks.
You might want to get Jerry in this.
Brandon, there's two questions. How long do you take to help for a year? And then what is the retention period? So take it here, and then the most 4 terabytes, which is the minimum, which takes a day.
I can't.
No, I'm just saying, I'm just trying to
One time when I was innocent, I couldn't even find your email when I was trying to search for it. I was like, where?